This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Actor and Oscar-winning director Robert Redford has died at the age of 89. His publicist said he passed away at his home at Sundance in the mountains of Utah. FBI Director Kash Patel scheduled to testify today before the Senate Judiciary Committee. He is expected to talk about oversight of the FBI and could be asked questions about the Charlie Kirk killing. The man accused of murdering him is due in court today. ABC's Matt Gutman is there.
That suspect is being held under what's called special watch, essentially isolation to ensure that others don't harm him or that he doesn't harm himself. And ahead of the formal murder charges being brought against him later today, the FBI has been laying out a tremendous amount of evidence against him, including what they're calling a confession.
In Minnesota, there's a special election today for former State House Speaker Melissa Hortman's seat. She was assassinated by a man posing as a police officer. Also in Minnesota, Governor Tim Walz says he'll run for a third term. This is ABC News.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.7 WRCE.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Wisconsin lawmakers are again talking about their safety following the assassination of right-wing figure Charlie Kirk. State Senator Howard Markline and Representative Tony Kurtz were on WRCO's morning show with Phil Neath. Kurtz says the rhetoric needs to stop. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss remains confident in security arrangements at the Capitol in Madison. Voss noted that Kirk was killed in a public place, and Minnesota state lawmaker Melissa Hortman and her husband were killed in their home. Voss said the reality is that most political violence that has occurred has not been inside a government building. Markline says the Wisconsin state capitol is probably one of the most open state capitals in the country. He added he likes the openness.
This is the people's capital. It's not mine, and it's not Tony Kurtz's. It's the people. So they ought to be able to come in and stuff. And we've talked about this in the past. I mean, you can come in. There are multiple entrances, which is potentially a problem. Maybe you can come in on the ground floor, multiple entrances, four entrances on the first floor. I know that, like, the new Senate Sergeant at Arm, he's very much into safety and stuff, and he's a former military background, and I'm glad that he is there now, because he's much more focused on safety than people were 15 years ago or whatever. And so he's watching people. I appreciate that caution. So I think there have been some improvements made just based on the personnel that are now in charge of the operation of the legislature. So I hope we don't have to get down to a point where we're just locked down.
Other than a brief period following the 9/11 attacks, the public has always had unrestricted access to the Wisconsin Capitol. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Brewers baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a three-game series tonight against the Los Angeles Angels at American Family Field. Milwaukee with a five-game lead over the Cubs in the NL Central. The Angels are in last place in the American League West, 13 games behind the Mariners. NFL, Matt LaFleur says the Packers' 10 penalties last Thursday night were far too many.
We went into the game. We knew that the penalties were going to be a big part of the game, and we had far too many. So, obviously, the first drive, it negated a touchdown, and then we had pre-snap penalties. You don't want any of those. We had a couple pre-snap penalties. We had a couple penalties on special teams that really played a big impact on field position.
The Packers play the Browns in Cleveland on Sunday. The Minnesota Vikings will be without their quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, the next 2 to 4 weeks. McCarthy suffering a high ankle sprain during their loss to the Falcons on Sunday night. Carson Wentz will take over at quarterback. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.7 WRCE.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm today. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop to 61 for a low. Tomorrow, another sunny, warm day with a high right around 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
This week, we sit down with Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, and she talks about her run for Lieutenant Governor.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots of stuff coming up on the show for you today. Friend and colleague, travel companion Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show from 2 to 4, will be here after 9:30. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk a little bit about Wisconsin's own Derek Van Orden.
The greatest tweeter of all tweeters?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
The angry tweeter. Oh. And we're also going to talk a little bit. You may have missed this. Again, there's such a fire hose now of news every single day. Yep. There's a lot of things that might fall through. But Brian Kilmeade on Fox News had a comment about, they were talking about that horrible instance, I believe it was in North Carolina, mm-hmm. where that young woman was stabbed to death on a bus by a mentally ill homeless man who had been in and out of jail.
Yeah.
And Brian Kilmeade essentially said, yeah, we should, you know, violent homeless people, we should just give them an involuntary lethal injection.
Mm-hmm.
And then he apologized.
Oh, the apology was too just...
It was, yeah. So we're going to do a little recap of that with Todd Alba coming up after the 9:30 news. In hour number two, Sarah Harrison will join us. She is a state senator candidate for district number 5.
Correct.
So we're going to talk to Sarah a little bit about what got her into politics, what she brings to the table, what yep. she would like to see happen in that district. So we'll learn a little bit about Sarah Harrison in hour number two at 10:30, as we always do, Audio Sorbet. Today, a little bit different. We're going to celebrate the life of Robert Redford.
Correct.
It was breaking news earlier this morning. Robert Redford has passed away at the age of 89.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think a lot of folks, I knew he was in his 80s.
Yeah.
But did not realize he was 89. So we're going to celebrate the life of Robert Redford. Take your calls about some of your favorite movies. If you do a little search, there are things you've forgotten that he did.
Oh, yeah. It's weird. For someone who had been around for as long as he had been, he didn't make... There wasn't like 100 movies.
Right.
But the movies he did make are memorable. Well, most of them are
memorable.
Some of them are like, nah, it's fine. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he's in some of the greatest films of the last 50, 60 years.
And then went on to directing and directed some fantastic films. Yep. So celebrating the life of Robert Redford for our Audio Sorbet today. And then we'll end the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Bold Ball Bouncing Edition.
Grand.
Yes. There's a video element.
Oh, of course there is. And it's
you need to see it.
It's weird.
It just... to appreciate it. So that's coming up at the end of the show around 10:51. A reminder as well, today is National Voter Registration Day.
Jane, if someone wants to check their voter registration, I mean, that must be an impossible task. They got to get in the, well, first of all, they got to get dressed.
Right.
Get in the car, drive to their local municipal building.
No. It is so easy.
How easy is it?
Go to myvote.wi.gov.
I have that website right here.
Do you?
Yeah.
All you have to do is put in your address.
That's it?
And it will tell you whether or not you are registered to vote.
But let's say I'm not registered to vote.
You can register to vote.
At this myvote.wi.gov website?
It's amazing, yes.
What if I want to find out, let's say, like, oh, shoot, who represents, who's my assembly member in Madison? Can I find it there as well?
Every single thing you need, including all the contact information for your elected representatives, are at myvote.wi.gov.
This sounds like a pretty handy-dandy website.
And it's completely free.
What?
I know. In all seriousness, if you know someone who has not voted, maybe you've got an 18-year-old in your house.
Yeah. Yeah, they just did a big voter roll maintenance. Please don't come at me with conspiracy theories. Where if you have not voted in a while, you are taken off the rolls.
They
if
will remove moved, you, yes.
Yes, exactly. So you want to go there and check it out. And another great thing, too, is as we get closer to election season, when the ballots become available, you can see sample. Two things, actually. You can see sample ballots of where you vote. So you can see what's on there. You can look it up, especially if there's one of those questions, because they're never worded
the
correctly.
Referendum. Yeah.
And also you can sign up for early voting as well. They can send through that website. You can sign up and then the state will send you your ballot so you can vote early.
By the way.
Yeah.
Early voting is also called absentee voting.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to throw that in there.
Absentee in-person voting.
Yeah.
It's just, or let's say you want to fill out your ballot, put it in your envelope correctly with all the signatures, and then drop it in a Dropbox. Yes. That's available too.
That's legal.
It's still free and legal here.
That is legal.
Unless you live in Wausau because the mayor, but whatever, that's fine. But yeah.
We'll do a scavenger hunt for your Dropbox
exactly.
when the time comes.
Yeah.
And amazingly, this year there are not any statewide elections in Wisconsin this fall. It's amazing.
Everyone take a break. Because in January,
it's all back again.
It's going to get tough.
But again, National Voter Registration Day, just a good reminder to check and make sure that you are still registered. If you have young people in your home who have not registered yet, this is your chance to get them to do that.
Absolutely.
Just remind them. It's important.
Correct.
We still
have a voice. And as long as we still have that voice, that is how we show up for change, period. We've talked about this many, many times. Political violence is not the way to go. Even deep political rhetoric is not the way to go if you have no ballot to back you up. The elections are how we show up and tell our leaders what we think. You can also go to myvote.wi.gov, get those contact informations, and tell them how you think as well.
You can also go, yes. We encourage
it's a great website.
We encourage people to reach out politely, respectfully.
Correct.
And let your electeds know that, yeah, we're paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
We do actually pay attention. Yep. Wanted to just talk a little bit to start things off about free speech.
We just exercised some right now.
We did.
Yeah.
And it is something I think a lot of us take for granted.
Mm.
And now, after the murder, and it was a murder, it was correct. A political assassination of Charlie Kirk last week, a lot of discussion about speech and who gets to say what.
Mm-hmm.
There has been some backlash against our Attorney General, Pam Bondi, who said after Charlie Kirk's murder, there's free speech and then there's hate speech. And there is no place, especially now, especially after what happened to Charlie, in our society. Pam Bondi said, we will absolutely target you, go after you if you are targeting anyone with hate speech. Now, there's been a big backlash from the far right about this.
Yeah.
Eric Erickson is a particular pundit who says our attorney general is apparently a moron.
Wow. Don't hold back, Eric.
This is a Republican.
Yes. Yes.
There's free speech and then there is hate speech. No, ma'am. That is not the law.
True. I mean, that's very, very true.
It is true. as much as we might despise and be offended by many of the things people say, and I think that's across, that happens to people on both sides. Mm-hmm. It's still protected speech.
Correct. And we had Jim Santel on 2 weeks ago about this, and he said you can go through every amendment and find how there are workarounds within those amendments. There are things in the First Amendment that are, in fact, not protected speech, and that is set up by precedents through the courts, whether it's the lower or the Supreme Court. But when we're talking about just, you know, saying something, if someone is, I'm going to use Charlie Kirk because it is the most obvious, most recent example. If someone is saying something that is, you find disrespectful towards the memory of Charlie Kirk, well, guess what? That's your right to feel upset about that because you have your reasons and they're your reasons. But that person, if they're simply just speaking their mind and they're not, and all they're doing is, quote, offending you, that's not hate speech. That's not threatening speech. That's not something that should go, that is not something worth violating the First Amendment over, period. Done. Because I would love to believe no court in the land would say, yeah, that's hate speech. I don't know at this point. I really don't.
Well, and again, it seems to be a little bit murky on who is going to decide what constitutes that.
Correct. Yeah.
Because Pam Bondi isn't saying we'll leave that up to the courts. Mm-hmm. Pam Bondi's kind of saying, I'm going to decide.
We're going to come after you. Isn't that what
she said? Yes.
Yeah. We're, which means the Trump administration, which means then the president, along with whomever else is involved, is going to decide what constitutes their version of hate speech. And I'm going to tell you right now, the bar is going to be pretty low. Because if it's anything, and it's not, and that's the thing, like, you can say, like, look, the ACLU defended Nazis marching through the streets of Skokie back in the 70s because they had the right to be there. And I use that example specifically because they are hateful human beings. What Donald Trump and his people will do is, does this make me upset? Does this make me sad? Oh, my, I don't like it.
Does it hurt my feelings?
That's what's going to become hate speech. And I know that because the backlash from this since last Thursday has been so swift against anybody speaking their mind on it that now people are just afraid of being fired, or I hate using the word canceled, but they're afraid of getting in trouble because all they're doing is speaking their mind.
Also, earlier this morning, Donald Trump launched a $15 billion lawsuit against the New York Times.
Oh.
This is from the Daily Beast that is filled with years worth of petty grievances. Again, for they're mean to him.
Yeah.
Trump alleges staff at the New York Times were so mad that he won in 2016. They set out to ensure he would never get back to the White House. They've spent decades of lying about your favorite president. There's no basis for this.
No, this is a slapsuit.
It's another waste of time.
Yeah. Coming from the president of the United States of America, who I thought that was a pretty, like, labor-intensive job. I thought that required a lot of your time.
He's got lots of spare time.
Yeah, he golfs a lot. And it comes down to, and also you have to bring into the conversation the double standard as well. You must respect. You must not hate. You hate no hate speech, this, that, and the other thing. I can do one Google search and find all the hateful things that Donald Trump has said, the hateful things that Pam Bondi says, the hateful things that Charlie Kirk has. They all have that behind them. And that's not to say that there aren't hateful things on the left, too.
There are, without a doubt.
But you can't sit there and say you must respect us while then saying, oh, by the way, I'm going to say whatever I would like about these individuals because I hate them. It's just once again, it's back to the idea of not the slippery slope, but just, is this where we start?
Well, again, it goes back to free speech for me, but not for thee.
Correct.
Fox News senior political analyst Britt Hume chimed in on Pam Bondi.
Yeah.
Saying someone needs to explain to Ms. Bondi that so-called hate speech, repulsive though it may be, is protected by the First Amendment. She should know this. Yes, as an attorney general, you would think she would know this.
Yeah, and agreed.
Matt Walsh, another far-right guy.
Guy who's in the same breath as Charlie Kirk when people talk about these individuals.
Matt Walsh says there is no law against saying hateful things, and there shouldn't be.
He should know.
855-752-4842. What do you think? Who should decide? Who gets to decide what is hate speech and what should be the ramifications of that? 855-752-4842. We'll continue this conversation. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Have you thanked a farmer today? Wisconsin's nearly 59,000 farms contribute over $116 billion annually to our state's economy and over 350,000 jobs. Please join the University of Wisconsin as we host our 12th annual Celebrate Agriculture game on September 20th against Maryland. Sponsored by Cleary Building Corp, Culver's, Case IH, and Compeer Financial. Thank you to our sponsors for making the Celebrate Agriculture game possible.
Does Trump's big bill end taxes on tips and overtime? No. President Donald Trump's new law exempts certain tip and overtime income from federal tax, but the deductions expire in 2028 and come with limits. Workers earning under $150,000 can deduct up to $25,000 in tips and $12,500 in overtime. Social Security, Medicare, and state taxes still apply. The Tax Policy Center says 2% of households will benefit from the tip provision, saving $1,800. The White House estimates $1,400 in average annual savings from the overtime deduction. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are talking about free speech in America. Attorney General Pam Bondi has said in the wake of the Charlie Kirk murder last week, there's free speech and then there's hate speech. And there's no place, especially now, especially after what happened to Charlie, in our society, we will absolutely target you, go after you, if you are targeting anyone with hate speech. This article from the Daily Beast, Kirk himself had repeatedly spoken about the danger of punishing hate speech. Here is what he posted last year, quote, "Hate speech does not exist legally in America. There is ugly speech, there's gross speech, there's evil speech. All of it is protected by the First Amendment," unquote. Bondi has gotten some pushback since she said that, even from the right, about what constitutes free speech and who gets to decide. Who gets to decide? I thought it was up to the court, and the court had decided already that hateful things were protected under the First Amendment.
There, and just to reiterate, with when it comes to the First Amendment, there are certain things that are not protected, but that's usually set up by precedent from the court from a while ago. Like they're looking at various things like you cannot say certain things. You cannot make public threats against the president. That's the best example you can use.
Right.
But yeah, like that is so it is such a subjective thing. And to say that we're going to come after you, that sounds like to me there's going to be speech police then.
Yes.
That sounds like, and it sounds like, what have we been hearing for the past 5, 6, 7 years from various people about
cancel culture?
I can't say anything mm-hmm. anymore. Mm-hmm. I can't do anything anymore. I can't, I will try to make a joke and people tell me that I'm a racist. It's like, well, yeah, but also, do you like this? And that's the question I have for those individuals who love President Trump and love MAGA and love all this stuff. How does this make you feel? Do you like this idea of policing speech? Do you like this idea of somehow this new, very subjective idea of what we can and can't say being out there? Will it be published as a book so we can follow the rules?
Well, I remember when Elon bought Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason why he bought Twitter was to bring back free speech.
Free speech absolutist, he
yes,
called himself.
And so he brought back onto that platform all kinds of hateful, nasty groups.
Mm-hmm.
My feed changed drastically when that happened.
Yes.
And the things that were showing up in my feed, it was a drastic difference. All kinds of hateful stuff. Mm-hmm. Under the umbrella.
Yes.
First Amendment.
Unless Elon didn't like what you said, then he would.
Well, then it was different.
Block you, suspend you, dox you, do what he wants. Because, as you said before, free speech for me, but not for thee. And I just really would like to know from supporters of Donald Trump how you feel about this. Because, as we've mentioned in the past, you could be sitting at a bar with a buddy. And if we get to a certain point, you can say, oh, I love President Trump. I don't like what he's doing with this thing. Like, I didn't like the big bill for
billionaires. I'm going to report you.
You said something hateful towards the president. You don't believe in it. You might think that's funny or ridiculous or because your friends haven't heard of it, it doesn't exist. But really, that's where we start. We start with the policing of, quote, hate speech determined by some other entity. And then it just morphs outward. And then you're encouraged to
report people
and do it for America. I wonder who else has done that before in the past, Jane.
855-752-4842 if you would like to join us. Jean from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Jean. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say?
Welcome back, first of all.
Thank you.
I'm glad you had a nice occasion. It sounded wonderful. And you give an A-plus to the guy standing in there for you, too.
He did a very good job.
You
guys are a great team, and you're great individualists, so I just wanted to give you that. Anyway, I wanted to say something that's been driving me bananas, and that is the speech issue. Something happened in Eau Claire. I don't know if you've covered it yet, because I've been paying attention to everything that's going on here, and it's like overload. But anyhow, they tried to get, by an online petition by a woman, I won't say their name and I won't say the people's names, however, to force a resignation of two of our Eau Claire City Council members for bringing up something that CK has said.
Yep.
You know, in some things that he said, and believing me, he said plenty of hateful things, in my biased opinion. But anyhow, they've gone after him in an online petition, and this woman was anti-mask, anti-everything, real strong Trump supporter, you know, that type of thing. So we got that coming into our local politics, which is really mm-hmm. Sickening. And the emperor wears no clothes. Wake up. The emperor wears no clothes. He's out there spewing these lies. As we got Epstein, which is the biggest crime I've seen in my lifetime. And it's just gross, folks. And then they're cutting cancer research. 37%. Wake up. Pay attention to what's really going on here, folks. Don't pay attention to going after hate speech and the martyrdom of Charlie and all these different things going on. Pay attention to how what he's doing impacts you and your family and your health and everything in your life. Thank you, guys. Keep up the great work and have a good day.
Appreciate it, Gene. Thank you.
Thank you, Gene.
We're going to wrap it up with something Tony said on the live stream. Should Evers decide what's free speech? Should Tom Tiffany decide? No, obviously the fairest judge would be Derek Van Orden. No one more calm or thoughtful than Derek. We're going to talk a little more, Derek, on the other side of the news with Todd Alba, our friend and colleague and travel companion. That is all coming up. I hope you can stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. We are the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 107.7 WRCE.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The search for a new family practice physician with a specialty in obstetrics ended successfully with the addition of Dr. Damilola Adesanya to the team at the Richland Hospital and Clinics. Originally from Nigeria and raised in Brooklyn, New York, Dr. Adesanya comes most recently from PCC Community Wellness Center in Illinois, where she worked as a perinatal and child health fellow with a focus on high-risk obstetrics and surgical obstetrics. She also spent time in Arusha, Tanzania during her fellowship working in the maternity ward. Her outstanding academic achievements include graduating magna cum laude from the Sophie Davis School of Biomedical Education at City College of New York and earning her Doctor of Medicine from State University of New York Downstate Health Sciences University. She will begin seeing patients later this fall. A Richland County resident has been arrested for possession of child pornography. The Richland County Sheriff's Office was assigned three cyber tips as an affiliated member of the Wisconsin Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force for reported possession of child pornography. This morning, the Richland County Sheriff's Office executed a search warrant as a result of the investigation at a residence within the village of Boaz. Deputies took into custody Don L. McCormick, 38 of Boaz, for one count of possession of child pornography. The Richland County Sheriff's Office was assisted in this investigation by Wisconsin ICAC Task Force, Wisconsin Department of Criminal Investigation Digital Evidence Unit, Richland Center Police Department, Richland County District Attorney, and Richland EMS. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If this past weekend box office earnings are any indication, anime has completely arrived. Demon Slayer Infinity Castle found itself at the top of the box office with a $70 million opening weekend. Its opening day take of $33 million was the highest opening ever for an anime film. Last week's number one film, The Conjuring Last Rites, held off three challengers for the number two spot and a take of $26 million. The three new releases include Downton Abbey, which brought in 18 million big ones in its first week of release to finish at number three. The Stephen King-inspired The Long Walk pulled in $11.5 million over the weekend. The film is based on King's first novel of the same title. And in fifth place was sort of a new release, or more accurately, a new re-release, as Toy Story brought in over $3 million on over 200 screens, giving it a massive haul of $195 million dating back about 30 years. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm today. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop to 61 for a low. Tomorrow, another sunny, warm day with a high right around 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman Program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'm joined by Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. We discuss his newly announced bid for governor 2026. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He is the host of the aptly named Todd Alba Show from 2 to 4 p.m. across the network. And our friend and travel companion, Todd Alba, is here. Good morning. How are you?
Now that I get to see Jane Matinair's shiny face and hear her voice once again, after a fine job by filling in by Greg Bach and Kelvin. But I mean, now I just feel better. There was something missing the last 3 weeks. I'm like, I just don't feel right. I feel off. Is it medication? Is it my vitamin? No. I just was missing my Jane Matinair.
Oh, Greg Bach, get back here. I have heard nothing but good things about the job that Greg and Calvin did.
I'm saying it was great.
Todd. Stop giving me compliments, please.
The gang is all back together.
Together
where we are meant to be. We wanted to start off with a little bit of talk about Wisconsin's own Derek Van Orden.
Must we?
Yeah.
Pardon me, just... one second, let me fill up with my Driftless Glen whiskey.
I am genuinely concerned about him and his. I think he has some serious anger management problems. This isn't a joke. I'm not joking. And it concerns me about him. I mean, how much did he tweet in the last couple of days?
Since Wednesday, over 550 times.
There you go.
550 times. Even if you have a staffer doing that, you are directing your staffer to do that.
I think that's a great point. And if I were one of the constituents of the 3rd Congressional District of Western Wisconsin, I'd say, what are we paying you to do? You know, because there's a lot of issues, particularly on agriculture. I mean, if you talk to Pam Yonke and the Midwest Farm Report, which I know you guys do occasionally, and talk to actual farmers, there's real concern about commodity pricing and the impact of tariffs, the Trump tariffs right now. There are real issues in the 3rd District. And Derek Van Orden seems to be obsessed with this online social media. So, yeah, I am no healthcare professional, but a tangential review. Something ain't right with that boy, is what we used to say back home.
Seriously. And again, yeah. I am genuinely concerned about his well-being. I don't think that's healthy. I don't think this is healthy behavior. And I just wish someone who was close to him could do something.
Well, I think that you bring up a good point, Todd, and I've heard this from both inside and outside of the network, that people in the 3rd District kind of have no idea that he acts in such a way, because the way he has crafted his image within that area is that of a guy of the farmer, a guy at the pancake breakfast, a guy out there in the Derek Van Orden. He seems like a good dog. Oh, yeah, he had the Butternut Cafe. I remember that play. You know what I mean? There has been this very well crafted image with the press's help, because this is not like an accusatory thing towards the press. If he gives them a video package of him at a farm doing a talk, then they're going to run that because they want to run content which shows their elected official. But people inside the third, as I've been made very much aware, are not keen to what's going on right now.
We have Jean from Eau Claire, who is a regular listener, and she has told us that there is a particular desert. There is a particular news desert in that part of Wisconsin, the western part of Wisconsin, and they get most of their news from the Twin Cities in Minneapolis. And for one thing, this is the problem of our losing local papers and losing local media to keep track of these things. And then if you only have the one outlet, as you said, Greg, and you get a package from from his office, you play it.
Yeah.
So it's tough.
I'll say a shout out if I will WEAU news, like Pat's former station. They did have a piece last night online. I think they read it on the news as well. I saw the video. And Gene brought this up. I was listening earlier that there are two city council members, and I've got their tweets right in front of me here. I won't read them both, but they tweeted out truthful information about Charlie Kirk. And for that, Derek Van Orten is now saying that he wants to cut off all federal funding to Eau Claire, which is the second largest municipality in his congressional district. I'm no Karl Rove or David Axelrod, but I don't think that's smart politics.
No.
So I think the way that Democrats and people who are opposed to Van Orden, I think that's the way to go after him. I appreciate and understand the anger around some of his ridiculous tweets, the over-the-top stuff. But, and look, I'm not trying to oversell. I haven't lived in the 3rd District in several years. My mom still lives there. I go back a lot to Richland County. I ran for assembly in the 3rd District, a district just south of Eau Claire, or La Crosse. My sister and brother-in-law live in Eau Claire, so I know it pretty well. Derek Van Orten, to Greg's point, and both yours, that he's done a great job, whether I like it or not, of marketing himself, the narrative out there.
Yeah.
And he is ingrained with first responders, sheriffs, EMT people. They love him. Mm-hmm. And the most powerful people politically in most districts is the local sheriff. They usually get the highest votes, and people trust them. And I think that if people like me are constantly attacking him, even with truth, locals are going to say, hey, they're attacking us because he stands up for us.
Yeah.
And I think the right narrative, and I'm not saying I know all the answers, I think the right narrative is to point things out like this, where he's going against his own district. Even if most people would say, hey, even if you disagree with these tweets, which are truthful, by the way, should our funding be cut off because our congressman doesn't like it? Most people, I think, are going to say no. And secondly, I think, and this is much harder to do, right? And it's not clickbaity, it's not politically sexy, but when you have situations like when Donald Trump said, hey, mail-in ballots, absentee are quote unquote corrupt, and we have to stop this. Meanwhile, Brian Schimming, the Republican Party chairman of Wisconsin, said, we have to do mail-in ballots. It will help us win. And most people credit that Schimming and state Republicans up there, their absentee and mail-in balloting as part largely why Trump won the last election in Wisconsin. And then you have to go back to Derek Van Orten and say, okay, Derek, who's right? Mm-hmm. Trump or Schimming? Both can't be right. And you have to put them in a political box in a situation where it makes them very hard to come up with this rhetoric. That's not necessarily fun to do. It's not clickbaity. But I think that's the way that you get people locally in the 3rd District to rethink. And finally, I'll say this. The leading Democratic candidate to replace it, Rebecca Cook, who is endorsed by the National Democratic Committee, refuses to come on this network for a proper interview. And so when people like me say, oh, Derek Van Orten won't go meet with his constituents, well, his leading opponent won't even come on and meet with the press for a proper interview. Mm-hmm. That ain't helpful either.
Right. Yeah.
If you're just joining us right now, we're talking to our friend Todd Alba on Matt and Air on Air. He is the host of the Todd Alba Show, which is on weekdays 2 to 4 on the Civic Media Radio Network. And a couple of things I wanted to say to all of that, because I absolutely agree with you. And what's interesting, though, is that when we discuss the matter of, well, they're attacking us. They're going to hold those council members more responsible for their truthful tweets and look towards punishing them rather than looking at Derek Van Orten and saying, well, why is this guy doing this to us? They're going to blame the others and not him, because the thing he has done that's done very well has really mirrored the Trump vibe, which is I say whatever I want, no matter what I want, and everyone supports me, and there are no consequences. And I think that's a great notion to say, all right, try to put him in a political box to answer a question. But we've seen over and over again, when asked the most simplest questions, I mean respectful questions about process, about passing a bill, he gets angry, he points his finger in your face and tells you that you're the problem when all you did was ask when budget hearings are going to be held. What? You can't trap him in a box because he's going to kick the box open and run away.
And you make a really good point in that every question he does not want to answer, he responds to with an insult, essentially. That's kind of the go-to thing.
That's a really great point. And I guess I was putting it more. Now, I don't expect Derek Van Orten to answer those questions. Mm-hmm. But I think that when I had the opportunity to go on and people throughout the third district were talking to friends and neighbors, you bring this up to each other and you get the voters kind of asking themselves these questions. I know the scientific is, you know, cognitive dissonance, which I think people are like, what the heck is that? Yeah. It's basically just looking in the mirror, asking yourself, is that what I believe? And I think that's the thing that's helpful in voters. I was listening earlier. I also think you guys brought up another key issue, and that is the suppression of free speech, whether we agree with it or not. And again, I think most folks in the third district, if you just generally ask them, hey, as long as it's not calling for a direct killing, as long as you're not yelling fire in a movie theater, do you think that people should be able to say what they want, even if you don't agree? I think most people in the third district or across Wisconsin would say, I might not like it, but yeah. And I think that's a powerful issue to bring up to voters as well.
Yeah, I personally, you know, I will say this very openly, like maybe like a year ago, I was trying to poke at Derek Van Orten on Twitter. It never works. He doesn't care about me.
Me too.
But now
everybody's hoping for that go kick rocks.
Yeah, Dan Schaefer, Pat Kreitlow get all the attention. But for me, like now when I post about him, I'm intentional. And I try to say something to the effect of, here is a man who has been tweeting nonstop for over a week. I mean, more than usual. This is a man who is at January 6th, not as a person defending democracy, as a man with the mob that was eventually arrested and then eventually pardoned. This is a man who has said horrible things about many people he doesn't like. This is a man who's done next to nothing for farmers. And this is a man who continually gets voted in. And I want people to understand at least what one of our representatives in Wisconsin looks like. And that this is a guy who, in my opinion, went to an event full of traitors. And I'll say that out loud.
One of the things that disturbed me the most, and maybe you guys found it or maybe you didn't, is after the assassination of Charlie Kirk, I was going through my own personal Facebook page. And the amount of people that were, you know, quote unquote, Facebook friends. Yeah, you kind of know them, but you really don't know that.
Sure.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was shocked at how many people were retweeting, calling Charlie Kirk a saint and you know, good things. And it's like, you would know these people. And look, they're fine people that they're in our community. They do great things. And I think it just was a wake up call for me that how deeply some of this stuff is ingrained in people that are otherwise good people in our communities and how much work I have to do to try to understand where they're coming from and have real conversations.
But it's a problem when, as you mentioned, the two common council members whose names have come up now, I'm assuming that they used some quotes from Charlie Kirk himself. As
one of them was a direct quote from Charlie Kirk. Accurate, by the way.
Right. And then they were attacked for doing that. That's
right. And that's where it gets dangerous.
Well, yes, that's, we're trying to reverse reality here. Mm-hmm.
I think the other thing too is, for me, I saw people that I am, you know, quote friends with on Facebook who were posting challenges to say, find me something hateful that Charlie Kirk said, or find me this, or tell me why he was so bad. And within 24 to 48 hours, those posts were taken down because people answered in kind with the proof of his words.
That's fascinating. That's fascinating, Greg, because I honestly think that some of those people never heard that because they're in their own silo.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
We are speaking with our friend and colleague, Todd Alba of the Todd Alba Show. When we return, violent homeless people should be given involuntary lethal injections. That sounds bad.
So much for audio sorbet.
We'll talk about that coming up next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We are the vast, statewide, countrywide. Pick us up in Portugal, perhaps, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. It's the Big Ten opener against the Maryland Terrapins. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Looking pressured and sacked.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Joe Zepecki.
As much as I disagree with Charlie Kirk, no American should ever face physical violence for what they believe. And maybe that's how we get past it and move forward, is just say, this is not about, we can't get to a period of political violence. We're in one, and now we got to get out of it. And we have to recognize each other's humanity.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text, the number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Now my clock is correctly aligned with the rest of the clocks.
You're welcome.
I was surfing, and I'm like, this is, we had all kinds of time in this break. That was the wrong time.
What's on, Jennifer on Aniston? Why are you playing the music?
Are we working now?
Jane is still on Portugal.
I'm still on
time,
vacation time.
Please, give her a break.
All right, I'm back. We're back. We're live. From Radio Park in Racine, talking to Todd Alba. Join Todd today from 2 to 4. And I know, Todd, you've been talking about mental health and suicide in Wisconsin, which is a really important issue. And I know that you're going to be talking more about that this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for shouting that out. Don't tune in for Todd. Tune in for my guest, Kira Sabin, a psychological positivity coach. She's been on before. She put out a great Insta post over the weekend. And basically, I'll cut right to the chase, that bad things are going to happen. We can't stop that. But you know what? lots of good things happen simultaneously. We have to recognize that for our own mental health, because our brains through our DNA are not wired to always be on hyper emergency.
Yeah.
And she's going to walk through, and not to dismiss the news, but say, how can we take care of our mental health? And particularly with young males, young people, loneliness. We're going to talk about that today from 2 to 4.
Super important. It really is. Super important. So join Todd this afternoon for his show across the network. I wanted to, in the time that we have left, I did want to address this because, wow, this was really something. Fox's Brian Kilmeade last week in a discussion after that horrific stabbing of that young woman on a bus by a mentally ill homeless man who has been in and out of jail and you know, lots of trouble. But let's play that clip, Calvin, from Brian Kilmeade and his suggestion on how to handle cases like this going forward.
They have given billions of dollars to mental health and the homeless population. A lot of them don't want to take the programs. A lot of them don't want to get the help that is necessary. You can't give them a choice. Either you take the resources that we're going to give you, and or you decide that you're going to be locked up in jail. That's the way it has to be now.
Or involuntary lethal injection or something. Just kill him.
Yeah, Brian, why did it have to get to this point?
Right.
Just kill him. Just kill him.
So. Yeah, there's lots of layers, right? We don't have a lot of time, but I think I'm glad you're calling it out. We talked a little bit about it on our show. This comes, of course, and over the weekend, after this kind of blew up on socials, Kilmeade was essentially forced to give an apology. Yeah. Last time I checked, Fox News still has him on their payroll. Meanwhile, over they fired, was it MSNBC?
Yes.
They fired Matthew Dowd, a former Republican strategist for George W. Bush, because he actually said something truthful about Charlie Kirk. And I think it brings up the important topic, Jane and Greg, is that let's just have a staff meeting on the air right now, by the way. I don't know about you guys. I said this on my show yesterday to the audience. I don't have the bandwidth, nor the staff, nor the resources to keep up with the truth every single day, because it used to be, oh, this came from the FBI. This came from the Department of Labor Statistics.
Yes.
This must be true. And now under Trump firing those institutional nonpartisan employees, we can't even rely on that.
Yep.
And where we get our news and the socials that are overwhelming us with disinformation is so dangerous. Quick example, Kash Patel, FBI director, when they announced that they had the shooter in custody, he ended his comments with this, I'm paraphrasing, but like, rest easy. We have the watch. We'll see you in Valhalla.
Valhalla.
Valhalla. Thank you. It's some Nordic thing and pagan thing.
Yes.
Kirk was a Christian. It seemed weird. On the official CBS News story on that, they quoted Kash Patel, and they ended it with a period, not dot, 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 close, quote, with a period before the remarks on, we'll see you in Valhalla.
What?
And so, yeah, I've got it. I saved it. And so now you have, and remember, CBS was part of this deal with Skydance, who Trump said, allegedly you got to fire Colbert. They forced CBS or Paramount and put in a ombudsman, essentially a Trump watcher.
Barry Weiss. Yep.
And you start thinking, it's just little things like that, right?
Yeah.
It's little things that have set, that first go unnoticed, that are framing the context for how we react. And I think Pete Buttigieg said it well. Other people have said it well. Put down your phones, guys. Get off the internet. Occasionally, you know what? Turn your radio off and get out and be with real people and touch grass and take care of yourselves. And I think the best thing we can do is have real conversations, as we say, like this, and just connect with our friends and neighbors, because I can't solve on our little show all the problems, but we can start connecting with our neighbors like you and I when we travel around Wisconsin.
Yep. And we say it at the end of every show. I hope you find some joy today. And it's a
exactly.
It's a small, tiny, and I realize a very small, insignificant thing, but sometimes it's that little moment of a nice exchange at a grocery store or whatever it is that gives you a savior moment for the day. Mm-hmm. It's like, here is one bright spot that happened today.
Occasionally, a great radio host and friend saves a life of a bird. And you know what? That freaking I'm serious. That matters. That's hope. We have to hang on to that, you guys.
You got to find it somewhere, right? You got to. We all need to find those little nuggets someplace and then share it if you can. Join 100%. Todd Alba this afternoon, 2 to 4. Thank you so much, my friend. We will see you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, guys.
We have news coming up next. And then when we return, we are going to get to know a Senate candidate for State Senate District number 5. That's all coming up on Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A judge in New York has just thrown out the two most serious charges against Luigi Mangione, who's accused of killing United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. The judge dismissing first-degree murder as terrorism charges, but keeping second-degree murder charges in place. This afternoon, the man accused of killing Charlie Kirk will be in court to face murder charges. He fit the classic definition of a movie star, but he was also an Oscar-winning director and a champion of independent film and an activist. Robert Redford has died at his home in Utah. Redford received a Lifetime Achievement Oscar in 2002.
I've spent most of my life just focused on the road ahead. I've not looking back. But now tonight, I'm seeing in the rearview mirror that there's something I've not thought about called history. And what moves me tonight is that I'm being joined by colleagues and peers to reflect on that history.
He was 89.